Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
As we have a night where NBA playoff positioning is coming down to it, Tom Brady's dad is hyped, and a debut that I have been dreading for years in the sports world. But let's begin with what clearly is the biggest story at the moment right now. Knicks win, Knicks win, Knicks win, 102-98. Also, Miami is about to win, and Atlanta has won, so 4, 5, and 6 in the East remain unchanged as we get to the last two games of the year where these three teams tried to play the game of, hey, two of us have to avoid the Bucks in the first round, so let's see what we can do for each other, as this clearly is the story now in the East. Who can avoid the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis tonight, who scored 94 points with 86 rebounds and 42 assists. He was 40-15-6 tonight for the Bucks as they win over the Pacers. And you know what, Mike? We've talked about it a lot the last couple of weeks. The two teams that everybody has been sleeping on have been the Clippers and the Bucks. All the sexiness of the Nets, I get it. The newness of the Suns and Chris Paul and the Jazz still winning without Donovan Mitchell, and Jokic is going to be the MVP, and the Lakers, oh, where are they going to wind up finishing? But the Clippers and the Bucks are the two teams everybody has been sleeping on, and these are two teams that nobody wants to play right now because they are just silently and with mind-numbing consistency chewing up every opponent they can possibly see and spitting them out. I mean, except for when the Clippers had to play the Knicks. There was that.
Well, there's that.
But these are the two teams nobody wants to see, and nobody's talking about them, and they are both just playing extremely well right now.
Yeah, you look at what Giannis has been throughout this season. You could argue that it's a better campaign than, say, last season when he won the MVP, maybe 2 years ago. But we've seen this story. We've seen it end unceremoniously in the playoffs before, which means it goes to the back burner. It doesn't get you front page news. Folks would rather talk about Tom Thibodeau and your beloved New York Knicks. I can't believe I just walked myself into that trap. It's a trap! But, you know, LaMelo Ball and what he's doing, right? They're going to the playoffs. They got thumped today by the Clippers, but they're going to the playoffs, and he's a fun story. Miami beat the hell out of Philly here the last time. They're going to wear those mutant jerseys. But, you know, it raised a lot of money for charity. I can't disrespect it. They did a lot of good thing with it. And you know what? I might rock one of those around L.A. You never can tell. You know how you celebrate Jimmy Butler's whole catalog. But you just go down the line. Even, you know, let's fight about Nikola Jokic. Let's talk about Steph Curry without his band of merry men and a, quote, diminished Draymond Green. All of those things just jumped over these last two, right? Because the Clippers, it goes back to Lob City. Right, it's not even a, hey, it's a new era with Kawhi Leonard. It's no. Remember, they had the team that was supposed to be ready to break through 5, 6, 7 years ago, and they failed then. So we've been there. We've done the developers. They've been developing a long time, and they haven't delivered a finished product. So they go to the back burner. And with the Lakers, look, it's all about legacy and big plays with LeBron James. And being as polarizing as he is, that every move that they make is going to be huge, right? I mean, we did the big story last night, the Jerry West responding to Jeannie Buss. What the hell took everybody so long? It's like, 24 hours later, people are just starting to talk about it. I'm seeing timelines now. It's like, hey, can you believe this? Like, dude, where the hell were you for 24 hours? But it's just the idea that, you know, we like new. We like shiny. We like things that are still to be played out for the first time. It's like why I think you picked Atlanta as a team to watch. They drubbed Orlando tonight, and we know what Orlando did for the second half of the season. But still, the intrigue of what Trae Young and company might be. So some great storylines as we get through the final week of this NBA regular season. And we've got, you know, the Phoenix Suns getting ready to tip off here in just a little bit against Portland. So fun time tonight. See how I'm filibustering so you don't have to talk about your baseball misery?
You know, here's what we have to get to that because it's one of those things
I did a good job, though.
I mean, yeah. I need to talk about that. But clearly, look, every year we look at the Bucks. The last couple of years, look how great they are. Is this the year they put it together? And they don't. And maybe now, just like the Clippers, the spotlight was too big for them last year, and this is now their time. Both teams did exactly the same thing in the offseason. They reconfigured their roster. They said, okay, these support players aren't working. We need new support players coming in. And so far, it is worked. Now, if you ask me which team I'm more confident in right now, I'm a little bit more confident in the Clippers and the Bucks, but still, the Bucks have figured things out. And they had a lot of stuff going out and a lot of newness coming in. It's taken a while. But both of these teams are winning and they are under the radar and it's exactly where they want to be. We have not, I mean, nobody has talked about either of these teams for the last couple weeks outside of our show because I know, because it's just a case of they're not the sexy teams, right?
No.
But, you know, it's like we forget about Giannis. But Giannis was, we talked about Giannis for so long. Is Giannis going to stay? Is he the MVP?
Well, no, and that's the thing, right? Because that's the story that comes up.
We don't care
as soon
now.
As games go final on the 16th. As soon as we go to the playoffs, I guarantee you Monday morning there will be a bunch of thousand-word thought pieces and talking heads talking, well, if Giannis fails in the playoffs, here we go. Dial up the number. Tell me what you think. Where's he going to go? But it's been lying in wait this whole time because it's the regular season. And who gets excited, except for you and I because we're nerds, about the regular season and the fact that your Knicks are relevant for the first time since Phil Jackson, you know, Jerry West. Five list was throwing bows and winning titles. By the way, he got
awesome.
Two as a player.
It is awesome, man. I'll tell you what. I mean, think about this bet that you could have had beginning of the season. I want the Knicks for 40 wins. Whatever odds you want. What do you want? 100-1?
Yeah.
200? I'll give you the Knicks. And the Knicks they got two games left, and they're one win away from 40.
But we talked with Todd Furman about that yesterday, and he just shrugged, and he goes, man, I don't even know what to tell you. you would have had hope, right? Hope that there's discipline and everything under Thibodeau. But you don't know if that translates to wins, right? When you got a team that's reshuffled and in the growth mode, and obviously Derrick Rose playing fantastic basketball, nobody was banking on that because he's been just tremendous these final 2 months of the regular season. And we'll see if it carries into the playoffs. If so, you will be insufferable.
I'll tell you what, and listen. I'm just saying. I could have owned a casino. If I really wanted to do it. I mean, I said they were going to make the
play-in
playoffs.
Well, that and if you bought Dogecoin like 6 months ago, too.
I don't know. What would have made me more money if I bought Dogecoin 6 months ago or if I had bet the Knicks to have 40 wins?
If you'd put
if you'd put
a couple of grand in on Dogecoin,
that's
it would have been Dogecoin because it got up to about what 73 cents or so.
Oh, that's true. Before it came back,
so if you'd bought a couple of million shares,
okay.
Right, which would have only cost you 2-3 grand, then you would have been rolling.
Oh man, but it would have been easier to get the payout. It would have been much more satisfying to go to the casino and walk in.
I'm
walking out with bags of money.
Yeah, no, as you roll in and you're like running out with a cigarette in your mouth like that dude singing "Take My Breath Away," except they have to let you go.
Yeah. I'd been walking out like Ocean's 11 when they're all walking out with all the money and no one.
What happened to all that money?
The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. So we'll have more on the NBA throughout the night. Look, big again, everybody wants to avoid the Bucks. Avoid the Bucks in that first round, man. If you are that team, you are going to do a lot better for yourself than probably going home in a sweep or in five. But this, we have to get into this because it's happening now. It's happening right now.
It is right now.
You know, and this is the thing, is every time I hear his name, it just gets me mad.
You're literally rubbing your temples and trying to hold back.
How did you not know? How could you tell? I've actually
you totally changed your...
I have my
your tone, your diction, everything just went to hell right there.
I have my thumbs over my eyes when I'm saying this right now. You saw today, Major League Baseball, very big deal. The number three prospect in the entire game, Jared Kelenic, is going to make his debut for the Mariners tonight in about 5 minutes. Again, this guy is the number three prospect overall in baseball, and every time I hear his name, I get a twitch in my face, and I get mad, and I think back, because this, I'm telling you, this trade that the Mets made with the Mariners 3 years ago with Brody Van Wagenen and brand new GM. I'm an agent. Look at me. I'm going to make crazy ass deals. This is going to go down as the worst baseball trade in the past 20 years. All right. Now that's a pretty bold proclamation. It was a very big deal. Now at the time, what the Mets wanted to do was they wanted to get rid of a couple of players' salary, Jay Bruce and Anthony Swarzak. Right. So here's Brody Van Wagenen, new GM. Hey, let's make a deal. So he makes a trade with the Mariners in which the Mets get back Robinson Cano and his entirely bloated contract. They also get Edwin Diaz, who was coming off one of the great years in the history of baseball for a reliever. This is kind of an even swap, right? Like, if we're taking Cano, you're going to give us Edwin Diaz, right? That's kind of what the price of poker is. We'll take this bloated contract now and pay most of it, but you got to give us Edwin Diaz. Great. But now the Mets say, well, we want to get rid of a couple of our guys, too, that we don't want to pay anymore. And these guys are only making like $7, $10 million apiece. It's Anthony Swarzak and Jay Bruce, right? So they send them to the Mariners. And the Mets send two of their best prospects in Justin Dunn, a pitcher who has been pitching okay so far. He's been a pretty good starter so far this year. And here's Kelenic, who's turned into one of the best prospects in all of baseball. This trade is so incredibly awful. When you look at what's happened with Cano, who's not playing this year for a PED suspension, I don't know if he can even play the field again. He's got two more years left on his deal. Edwin Diaz is a roller coaster every time he goes out there. You made a deal for a closer. That should have been the first warning bell saying you never make a deal for a closer, okay? Because closers, who knows what you're going to get? You don't do it. And then you dump a couple of guys who then the Mariners say, well, it's easy for us to trade these guys. They just send them back to the National League East for nothing. The Mets could have dumped either of these guys and just don't give us anything back. We just don't want to pay their salaries anymore. They could have done that, but no, Brody Van Wagenen says, oh, we got to do this. And oh, because it's my first trade as a general manager, and here come the Mariners swirling around him going, yeah, we're going to fleece you, right? Just like Kevin Costner did to the rookie GM in Jacksonville by getting the 3 second round picks. Hey, and now you got to give us two of your best prospects. And Dunn, okay, but Kelenic was a guy they had just taken him in the first round. And look how fast he's moved up the minor league system. This will wind up going down as the worst baseball trade of the past 20 years. Now, there's been a few bad trades, and like the Nelson Cruz trade back in 2006, but Nelson Cruz has played for a bunch of teams. The only trade that really could come back and looking worse is the Joey Bats trade back in 2008 with the Pittsburgh Pirates, who traded Jose Bautista for a player named later who turned into a guy named Robinson Diaz, who was out of the league after that year. And all Joey Bats did was turn into a guy who hit 45 home runs for the next 6 years for the Blue Jays, led them to the playoffs, one of the best players in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's the only trade right now that I see that could end up being worse than that, because he had 6 or 7 years of incredible production, like Hall of Fame type production, and they gave him away for nothing.
Yeah.
But this trade could easily blow that out of the water. If he's that good, suddenly it's, oh man, because not only did you get a player, it's not, well, it's like Pittsburgh, well, we lost a guy. The Mets said, well, we gave a player away and who turned out to be a superstar, and another guy who was pretty good, and we also took on your really bad salary, and we took on a closer who wasn't any good anymore. We had all the bad things on this part of the trade, and the Seattle Mariners had all the good parts of it. Every time I hear Kelenic's name, I just go, just stop. And it's going to be this way for 15 years. I know it. And they're going to sign him, and he's going to be a Mariner forever, and they're going to put a big statue of him outside the field, and is going to put a statue of Brody Van Wagenen out there with a pen in his hand like he's signing the contract for the trade, and it's going to be Kelenic with a bat in the air. That's what it's going to be. That's what's going to happen. Well, so every time I hear his name, I just go, oh, my goodness.
All right, so let me pull back the curtain just for those that are trying to figure out why we're talking about guys getting promoted being a big deal. You have to know your hosts, okay? This is pulling back the curtain and letting you know the inner turmoil and angst that really becomes a huge ball in the gut of one Jason Smith. And Will, every night, here henceforth. Because this is fun, though, for Seattle while we're on the Mariners, because you got Kelnick. It's good that we've got that name pronounced properly. Also making his debut tonight, and you'll love this, is you have young Logan Gilbert, just turned 24 years old, 6'6", beast out of Stetson University. Stetson University, that sounds familiar. Oh, yeah, Jacob deGrom and Corey Kluber went there. So we got that. 2.13 ERA when he was taken 14th overall in the MLB draft. 2.13 ERA, 165 strikeouts against 33 walks. That goes back to across three teams in the minors in 2019. 10-5 record. 165 over 135 innings. Oh, and you need one more? Yeah, why, since we're on Ocean's 11, why don't we get one more? Julio Rodriguez will be up soon, too. He is 20 years old and 135 days. So the future is now for you Seattle Mariners, people. And if you say, why do we care about this? Well, one, you're playing fantasy baseball, you're betting. And I would like to think, if you're listening out there, you give a damn about the two of us. So here you go. There's a little glimpse inside the blackened soul of Jason Smith and why he's going to be stressed all night long.
I'm telling you, look, it's a big deal in baseball. This was the baseball story of the day, and he's getting ready to come up. No, he's not just going in there, you know, he's playing, you know, he's going to hit eighth. No. He's leading off and playing left field for Seattle. We're going to put him. We're going to get him most at bats of anybody on the team.
Welcome to the party, pal.
There. Oh man, I'm just going to.
Hey, good luck with
every
that,
time.
Pal.
I'm going to live and die with every at bat of this kid's career.
Yeah, you know what's really great for me, though? The White Sox already won, so I am just chilling, watching basketball. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring that game up and watch it right now.
I'm just going to have to look at the National League standings. Oh, you know what I did to a guy today? It was great. So I go to the grocery store to get some food, and I'm walking by.
Like usually one of the things you do there, sure.
And this guy is in the middle of the – he's just in the aisle, like, looking, and he's looking for something. He's wearing a Padres hat. Mm-hmm. And so he's standing there.
Trying to punch him in the face like that guy that went by.
Wait, are you that guy? Are you the guy from that video? And so he's standing there trying, and I stop. He goes, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I don't wear my Mets hat, and he's wearing his Padres. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And the guy's probably about my age. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. I said, yeah, you just know this is where first place teams keep going through. And he looks at me, and he goes, all right, we'll see. We'll see. And then as I go walk around the corner, he goes, we'll see. We'll see about that. Like it's stunning.
I'm the guy making people angry out and about.
Like the way I said to him, this is where first place teams come and go, okay? This, so you know, this area right here. You
dude's going to start throwing snack cakes at you or something at the end of the aisle.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith show with Mike Irwin. I mean it. Worst baseball trade of the past 20 years. When you're looking to hire people fast, well, don't make it Brody Van Wagenen. Also, better late than never doesn't cut it. Fortunately, Indeed has Instant Match. Sponsor a job and you'll instantly receive a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. More at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Well, coming up next, Tom Brady's dad is salty and hyped. I don't know that he's going to be salty and hyped forever, though. We'll get into what he said and what he's looking forward to and why he might not be looking forward to it. That's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. And Jared Kelenic fouled out to right. A really difficult play with the right fielder going into the stands to get him out. So already he's a tough out. But 0 for 1 now. It's a great trade for the Mets.
Dude.
Great trade for the Mets. It's a great trade for the Mets.
What a play that was by Naylor. Yeah. Great play by Naylor going into the right field stands right down the corner, drifting down the foul line. Guy stood there proudly with his beer, tried to make the catch. Naylor navigates him and another kid who tries to get in the way. No, he will not be denied. And into the stands he goes, but holds up the ball saying, I got it! And Kelnick, they'll have to throw him that ball and say, congratulations, here's your first Major League bat, you're out.
It's everywhere. The entire timeline in sports right now is Jared Kelenic and what he's done. Whenever we have debuts like this, it's a really big deal. It just churns my stomach because of this bleeping trade. So I'm good for at least another 8 at bats. So I'm good until that happens again.
Because every time he comes up, it'll be okay.
I'm gonna feel like Spider-Man. Like except every hour, I'm gonna go.
Oh, spider senses. My Peter tingle. Peter tingle is happening. Oh, Kelnick must be up. I'm getting that met. Kelnick must be up here. My stomach is going to churn. But right now, nothing. Indians and Mariners in the first inning. But today, Tom Brady's dad is hyped. He did a surprise interview on 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. And look, with the NFL schedule release yesterday, of course, everybody looking at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers schedule is going to be for this year. And certainly we looked at week one, which is going to be the opening kickoff game against the Cowboys, which is going to be incredibly huge. But week four is the game of the year. It's Tom Brady's return to Foxborough, where the Bucs play the New England Patriots. And today, Tom Brady's dad, Tom Brady Sr., talked about how excited he was for this game, in that basically he's very hungry and thirsty in anticipation of this matchup. Take a listen.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So wow. It's a pretty fun time.
So here he is already on Boston Sports Radio basically saying, blank you, man. I don't care about you guys anymore. I'm salivating at this game, and we're going to be 4-0. But that's not it. He also went on to talk about how, hey, it's not just going to be a win. It's going to be a big win.
Coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here. And the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers, and so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
So we got
I love the last
there.
Line, but the other part is like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
they're
I don't
part
know
of your past,
yet.
Man. It's over.
He kind of got lost a bit and said we have a second favorite team, but of course, we know we don't have anybody we're rooting against, but we're rooting for our first favorite team. But the big things to take away is
I thought you said you were all right, Spider.
I thought you mutter and stuttering. Is that number one, salivating, expecting to come up and be 4-0, and we're going to win handily. We're not just going to. He is talking smack already. It is the middle of May, and this is we're coming up to kick your ass in Boston. I mean, listen, I always go back to the big billions Damian Lewis philosophy, right? The Bobby Axelrod, hate is an endless resource. It will always be there for you. It will be there longer than love. And how much is Tom Brady and his family, how much do they hate the Patriots? And how much they hate the fact that he was pushed out, that they were told him basically after all those years, you're not welcome. I go and I win the Super Bowl with another team. No. I'm coming up this game. I want to hang 50 because I can't stand Belichick because he pushed me out. And you too, Kraft, because you decided to take Belichick's side on this. Oh, no, I'm coming up. This is like emperor hate. This is yes, pick up the lightsaber and strike me down hate. This is incredible hate from Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady's dad is out here saying this. And then Brady gets in on it after that interview saying, this is going to be like when your high school friends meet your college friends. And I'm like, whoa, is that a slight? Because what do you don't normally think of that? Your high school friends are the ones you outgrow when you go to college, right? Your college friend, hey, I was kind of thrown into school with you in high school, so we kind of had to be friends. But now, hey, this is my crew in college. I'm sorry, but I'm older now, and I got no time for you now. So even Brady is in here twisting the knife already, and it's the middle of bleeping May. Tom Brady is going to be unrecognizable in this game. His head may explode with the emotion and what he puts into this, because already you can tell they can't wait for this game. I mean, the day after the schedule comes out, you have Tom Brady Sr. doing an interview in Boston saying, we're coming to kick your ass, and we're going to do it handily, and then Brady saying, yep, you're my high school friends. I've outgrown you. You're my high school friends. This hate, if you had any doubts that Brady hated the Patriots and wanted to win this game, if any doubts, this should dispel them right now because of what's going on today. That hate is, you could feel that hate all the way from one end of the phone all the way into Boston on that.
Except he realized what he was saying and then tried to backtrack. It's like, no, you went there. Own it.
They're well, I just don't think he understood the whole second favorite team. He tried to make a thing, like, I think he tried to soften a little bit.
No, he did.
Well, you know, they're my second favorite team, but the first favorite team is playing the second favorite team.
No, he tried to soften it, but, you know, once he realized, oh, wait, because he had a list and it said, well, don't forget who you're talking to. You know, call them by their names and remember, you're on in Boston. So, hey, don't insult everybody, right? They've been so kind to you for the last two decades, and maybe you have a couple of favorite restaurants you still want to go back to when you're in town and not be booed. Like your son will be when he plays there this time around. Look, he'll get the Queen's wave and a lot of celebration in pregame, and then that's it. All bets are off. And I like that there's some anxiousness to it. I like that there's a bit of anger behind it, right? Because it's going to be built up until week four, especially if they are 3-0 going into that game. Can Bill Belichick devise the defense to thwart Tom Brady? I mean, it's great theater. And the old man jumping on the radio to get it fired up now, here a couple of, you know, one day after schedule release, it's fantastic. It's everything you can hope for. Again, should have stayed to the script of it's going to be great to come back there and kick their ass. They didn't want Tommy anymore, and they don't like us. But no, it becomes the second home and our second favorite team. It's like, no, like that's all understood. But that's history now. It ended badly. Let it be, and now you move forward. But it's good that we have this. And look, I like who Brady is the last couple of years, man. You know, all of the extra work on social media, to take it away from his dad for a second, that Brady's got all of these little memes going out there and the smartass. Look, he's got Aaron Rodgers following the TB12 method now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, well, hey, it's growing. He might be wearing the recovery pajamas right now.
Well, every year, you know, you have somebody saying, hey, I can keep playing longer if I wear those pajamas. It's going to be good. I like it.
By the way, you brought up the whole high school versus college friends thing, you know, and extrapolated on that. Remember that most folks live next to mom, kind of here. According to an NPR report going back to 2015, the average person in the United States lives just 18 miles away from his or her mother. That was from a New York Times research article. So, I mean, that's kind of a big deal. So, you know, get it. Those people are always part of your lives. And now, not as many people go to college as you. You're trying to make it sound.
Yeah, but Brady went to college and he went away, and that's what he's doing. Look, as someone who went to college and went away and moved away from their family, I know exactly what Brady is doing when he says that.
All right? And then Walter,
he did the same
you.
Thing. Yeah, then my dad decided, I'm moving out where you are. Okay, Dad, great. How you doing? Okay, that's great. Yeah. Well, it kind of comes full circle. But here's the thing. Is I got bad news for Brady and Brady Sr. Because right now, I'll make my first pick of a game in the 2021 season.
Look at you.
I will take New England in this game over Tampa Bay. All right. First of all, coming back, it's going to be very emotional. We know this. And Tampa Bay is a terrific team. Tampa Bay stayed the same. They got the band back together. Yes, you're the Super Bowl champions, but tell me any team that has stayed the same and done better the following year. Not many do that. And it's not like they locked up guys who were young. No, you're trying to get one more year out of Antonio Brown, right? You're trying to get one more year out of your running backs, one more year out of Rob Gronkowski, one more year out of some of these guys. So that's not suddenly saying, hey, we're replenishing the pool and we're going to keep going and we're going to keep it rolling. The Patriots got better. The Patriots got better at everywhere. And it's either going to be Cam Newton or Mac Jones, most likely Mac Jones. And just over the course of my career of watching Bill Belichick shut down every single quarterback he faces when they play for the first time, whether it's rookies or a guy in their second year, he's never played against Tom Brady. I will take that Belichick will have the game plan out to stop Brady in this game. And here's the danger part for Brady is that he's not going to have the same type of season he had last year. It's going to be a little bit worse than it was a year ago because he's a little bit older. He doesn't have the zip on the ball that he used to. He can't throw as deep as he used to. That was something that was on display in the playoffs. Belichick will have a scheme that's going to be able to stop that. And that could turn into the blueprint by going, oh, this is how you stop Tom Brady. And this is a very dangerous game because the one guy you don't want to go against is Belichick, because if he can expose you, look what happens. Sam Darnold's never been the same since the Ghost game. Never. Yeah, other quarterbacks have never been the same.
Well, he's done that to a lot of young quarterbacks through his career.
Yeah, but how many times did he keep doing it to Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning was 67 years old. Still, Belichick was stopping him late in playoff games. I will trust that Belichick will be able to stop Brady. The Patriots win that game, and the danger is here's the blueprint to go beat Tom Brady, and we just showed you all how to do it. Now, whether it's being able to get pressure on him without having to blitz like they did against Patrick Mahomes or something else, how they stopped Jared Goff in the Super Bowl by swarming his secondary receivers, he couldn't look, or his receivers close to the line of scrimmage, he couldn't look deep. Whatever it is, he's going to figure it out. I will take the Patriots in this game over Tom Brady in his return to Foxborough.
Yeah, see, here's the problem. Tom Brady's smarter than the average bear.
And he is. And that wasn't a
shot at QB1 Andy Dalton at all.
He is.
Look,
he is.
The line is out. You ready for what the opening line is via FanDuel?
Okay, go ahead.
The Buccaneers are a 3.5-point favorite.
Mm-hmm. I'll take the Patriots on the field.
Look at you.
On the field,
I
week
like
four.
That. And there is the first of 272 games, America. Yeah, let's go.
You know, the thing is, as you say, Brady is smarter than the average bear. But how many times have I told you, when you make him uncomfortable, he turns into a different quarterback. He throws the ball early and he throws the ball low. That's what happens. He does it no matter what, whether it's last year, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, since he had his knee injury. When you put people around him, he gets really uncomfortable and it's visible. Look, no quarterbacks like the pressure. I get that. But Brady's a guy that you see it turn into something, and you see it, and he throws the ball early and he throws it low.
No, and
that's
great
all
the
time.
But behind that offensive line, you think they're going to muddy it up. I love it. I can't wait to talk about it, you know, 5 months from now when we're previewing the game. But I like that you're jumping into it right now. Just, hey, Alex, can you save this so we don't have to do a preview of this game in week four?
Yeah.
I'm going to be like everybody else. I'm going to just start taking clips and randomly throwing them in on shows.
We
said this 6 months ago. Here.
Now, listen, we're just going to preview this game every day for the next 6 months. We're going to do every, it's like the Aaron Rodgers story. We're
just like
do it every
the,
day.
The Kelnick at-bats.
Yeah.
I'm going to register the website for you right now. What did Kelnick do today?
And, hey, make no mistake, Belichick is salivating just as much as Brady's dad at this. As much as you think Brady wants to beat him, don't you think Belichick wants to see Tommy on his ass for a few plays in the game, and we're going to win this game 35-3.
He's petting the dog right now, coming
just
up
watch.
With a master plan, giggling
just
to
watch.
Himself. There's no question.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike Gets Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
It's
and we got more NFL coming up in a few minutes. Boy, do we have some fun stuff. But today, a really weird story that just gets more and more bizarre. The Yankees have now had a player be the 8th confirmed COVID-19 case on the team in the past few days. The shortstop tested positive again for COVID-19, an aggressive variant, which is going to sideline him now for at least 10 days. The Yankees have had 8 cases of COVID, with Torres being the first player. The previous 7 cases were all the Yankees coaching and support staffs. Now, the thing is like, wait, how is this happening when they have all been and gotten their vaccine? Wait a minute. So you see this crazy headline all day today. Despite vaccine, Yankees have 8th positive COVID case. And already I'm seeing people going crazy, going, oh, the vaccine doesn't work. And it's this. And it's look what happened. Hang on. This is where you have to look past the crazy headline and realize that, look, everything's going to be okay. Okay, the reason this happened is because these coaches all got the Johnson & Johnson shot, which is about 72% effective, not the 95% of Moderna and Pfizer, right? We know this, right? But some people wanted the one shot. Some people want the two shots. The thing about the Johnson & Johnson shot is that it's 72% against COVID, but it's about 95% against serious COVID. So it's kind of the same thing. So if you, this is where people decide, well, am I okay with just getting one shot? Am I, if I'm dealing with it like I deal with the flu and then I'm better because it's 95% effective? Okay. So it's just personal choice which shots people want to get. But that's why you're going to see COVID tests, because 72% is not 100%. It's not 95%.
Right. So none of it's going to be 100%.
None of it. And that's what the thing is that no vaccine is going to be 100%. It's going to be as close as you can to it, but we're still going to live with COVID. And that's the big lesson from this story with the Yankees, is that we're just going to continue to live with COVID for a while. And it's going to be COVID, and people are going to get shots, and you're going to get booster shots, and you're going to get a shot like it's the flu. That's how it's going to have to go for a while. So this isn't suddenly, oh, hey, look at this. Oh, I knew the COVID shot wasn't going to work. Look at this. It's one story. I mean, forget about all the other millions of stories about the vaccine working and now the COVID levels are going way down in the country and we're opening up and everything is moving at a great pace. No, let's ignore all that and go, oh, the Yankees got it, because this is what happens, right? When you take it, not every vaccine. Now, this is a weird number that seven guys have it, but you get the Johnson & Johnson and you're in close quarters around people for a long period of time. That's going to happen. This is not about, hey, I walked by somebody, said hi, and I gave them COVID. These are all coaches that are sharing all kinds of close quarters with each other, thinking, I got the vaccine, I should be okay. This is one of those stories that you understand, okay, COVID is still out there, but this is how we have to deal with it. None of the Yankee coaches have really severe symptoms. Most of them are asymptomatic, and this is kind of goes right along line with the vaccines. The vaccines all work. We're just going to continue to live with it a little while longer, even with the vaccine.
Well, and you see guidance continues to change every day, and I'm not going down a deep dive and rabbit hole on that. I've certainly got plenty of folks in and around my circles here in the South Bay, just south of LAX here, with a lot of screaming and yelling at one another. Told my kids to be ready for that to start rearing its head, as you know, kids can now get vaccinated. So all of that. But suffice to say, yes, there is a percentage of this that will linger, and we know there's still going to be a percentage of people that won't get the vaccination. Choice, but if you're vaccinated, you've taken care of yourself, right? You start getting into this weird web of trying to decide good, bad, ugly, and personal choice and all those other things. As for the Yankees, it's great that there's no real big symptoms for them. It's unfortunate that Torres is going to have to miss the 10 days, but hopefully he comes back and fine fiddle and ready to go.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome again. That we're just going to have to keep living when this is stuff that's going to happen, and we deal with it, and we go forward.
But
that's
I won't get yelled at for wearing a mask outside for not wearing a mask while walking my dog anymore.
Well, they're just going to yell at you anyway. I tell people, I pay people $5 to just drive by and yell at you. Yell at the guy in the purple shorts.
You're out a lot of money.
Big story out of the NFL next. Fox.